Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Don't kid yourself. There are real position battles for the Bills at Fisher this year. We'll break them down. Plus, which core player has the most pressure to perform this year? And what is the bet on the Bills you can't wait to make? All that's coming up on this week's edition of the Buffalo Plus Podcast.
Welcome back to the Buffalo Plus Podcast, presented by Buffalo Plus. Mike Catalana, Dan Fates, I am Jenna Cottrell. We got the band all back together as we have another podcast episode. Before we get started, please be sure to like, comment, subscribe, as well as share if you enjoy our stuff with some of your friends, the Buffalo Plus channel. We always appreciate it. We are inching closer to training camp being back at St. John Fisher in Rochester. And as we get there, Mike, I feel like we talk so much about this team, where they're headed, the expectations, all of those things. And we know most of the starters on this team, but there are some position battles to talk about. So in your head, who sticks out in terms of that?
Well, when I look at position battles and I look at what's happening this year, sure, we can focus on quote unquote starters, but you know how that works, right? If you're talking wide receiver or defensive line, I mean, multiple guys play. Yeah. So when I look at position battles, Dan, I look at it more like playing time in the roles. Rotation. Yeah. Offensive line's a little different. We've seen this team, and that's one of the groups I wanted to talk about, but we've seen this team keep moving until they focus on the five best, whoever that five are, because you like to keep them in there. But Dan, man, I see some serious battles at wide receiver and playing time on that defensive line.
The wide receiver one will be played out, I don't even think, in training camp. Like, I think that they're going to have so many options that that's going to carry on throughout the season. I really think that, like, obviously there's guys that have the leg up or will get the first crack, whether it's Isaiah McKenzie at slot receiver, but I also thought that Jameson Crowder has, you know, will provide some experience, some depth there. Mm-hmm. We so quickly peg like, oh, 1, 2, and 3 of the wide receivers that Josh Allen has, and that's going to be it. And I think you're right. I think that big picture, you look at everything's fine. When you start looking at the fine details, it's still very blurry.
Yeah, I don't think it's – there's just so many options, I feel like, or there's so many variations. I mean, you know who the top guys are when you think about wide receivers, but yeah – and even the guys like Tavon Austin, you know, a guy who we kind of thought coming in be like, all right, maybe a depth guy, competition guy. And we've had a very small sample size of him at mandatory camp, but still been impressed by what he's the small sample size that we saw. I just think it's going to be how everything breaks down. I think that is what I'm curious at. Yeah. And I think I agree. I don't even know which one of you said it, of like, maybe this is a week by week kind of thing as we see going forward. Yeah. Because I think of players who kind of like Isaiah McKenzie had an up and down season, but that game in New England, like the role that he had, and maybe we're going to see games like that where it's like a player kind of pops for 1 week and then maybe it's another guy the next week.
But hang on a second, guys. There's going to be a good player, maybe a veteran player cut in training camp. Yeah. You can't keep them all. No, they just redid Kumerow, right? And you would say in terms of wide receivers that he would fall down behind Tavon Austin, Jameson Crowder, Isaiah McKenzie, right? Because he just hasn't really had that role. But they love him in that team's role. Do they find a player at another position that can fill some of that role, a linebacker, defensive back, whoever it happens to be, so they don't need to keep another wide receiver there? Because when I start going down this wide receiver list, are you really keeping all these guys? No. And then we've talked before about, does Isaiah Hodgson make the team or these? No, we're talking about, is Jameson Crowder fighting for a roster spot coming in? Is Tavon Austin fighting for a roster spot coming in to camp? Because how many wideouts do you think they're keeping on the 53-man roster? You know, they're going to hide a guy or two on the practice squad, maybe, but yeah. You start looking at it.
There's eight right now. And probably get crap for this in the comments, I'm sure. But like guys, there's a steep drop off after Gabe Davis, like in NFL production.
It's roles with those other guys.
I understand that. But like when we've come into seasons before, where we're like, Mike, I remember you always talking about like how the wide receiver position used to be one of the weakest positions for Buffalo. And then it quickly rose to one of the best in the NFL when they added Stephon Diggs and you had Cole Beasley and you had two guys that were all pro. Then you got Emmanuel Sanders. And I know that like he wasn't what he is or what he was, but he's still Emmanuel Sanders. Like he's still a professional starting wide receiver. And after Gabe Davis, who I have my reservations about, there is a whole bunch of what if and hoping.
Jenna, I was just going to say, if Dan wasn't getting the comments when he started, about his reservations on Gabe Davis.
Those will be fun.
Yeah, but come on. Tavon Austin's an established guy who's been in the league. Jamison Crowder has been a pretty productive player in his career. Actually productive against the Bills a lot of times in the past. I'm saying is these are guys more on that John Brown scale. That have been there and have played, and you're backing off.
I think John Brown's way better than Crowder. And when they had John Brown, I think he was
again. We're talking about the role that they.
I was just saying, I think their roles are so different.
Yeah, we're talking about the role, and then you draft a guy like Khalil Shakir. Does he have a spot on the regular 53 man? I mean, depending on how he looks. I know he's a little nicked up in camp. Like, yeah. I see real competition here. And, you know, and I think that's a good thing. I think that's a really good thing. You do start out with quality, I think, with certainly, obviously, with Diggs.
Yeah.
And I think Gabe Davis can be really good. We've talked about, you know, what he needs to do this year. But I think these are real battles going on.
I think they're real battles, but I think the one thing that worries me, as I've said, I go, when you start to get to, is Tavon Austin your fourth wide receiver, or is Jamison Crowder or Isaiah McKenzie getting, you know, a lot of offensive snaps, which is something that he has never done, especially as a wide receiver, slot position, all those guys. Remember, and I know this is a new offensive system, but like Josh took more snaps in 10 personnel than any quarterback last year. So four wide receivers, wide receivers. Like you need depth. This is why I was team wide receiver in the draft, because it's great to have Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs, but for Josh to be successful and where he has been successful is when Gabe was the number three option or when he was that guy. Like Josh needs some of that depth. And as we're sitting here talking, I agree with Mike that they're battles. They're just not necessarily battles that I'm like super excited about to some level. And Mike saying like how you're going to cut vet, like there'll be a veteran that'll cut off this. There'll be veterans that'll cut from other teams that the Bills maybe throw, you know, a line out on and see if they land here like a Kumaro.
Yeah.
Mike, Dan, is there a position battle then that you're excited or?
Oh, I'm super excited about the running back position. Like just ecstatic. The four-headed monster that is who will start games. I just don't know who it's going to be. I think where I maybe disagree with Mike, where I think a lot, and I know Mike's talking about like the depth, the playing time role, but like starter wise, I think a lot of these guys are written in pen. It seems like in pencil is the running backs because of who they want to do or who they want to have the direction of what they want to go. And I still don't know what that direction even is. I don't know if it is a back that catches the ball more out of the backfield. Is it a one cut downhill guy? Aaron Kromer could decide a lot more of that as well, but finding some consistency, some success in the running game that has eluded them for the last 3 years. To me opens up a wide door to see who's going to emerge out of that mess of running back room to be a starter.
Do you really think, Jenny, you think it's a mess in the running back room?
Well, I feel like when you see how productive this offense has been, there's the obvious glaring hole of the running game really not being as, I mean, look, we know how dominant the passing game is, but when you look at a well-rounded offense, and I'm not saying you need to rush the ball three times a down or three times in a series, but at the same point, I feel like there's obviously a room for improvement. That being said, Devin Singletary had a nice ending to his season. The Bills have obviously tried to draft. They did it again, and they picked up James Cook. Will Zach Moss come into camp in the best shape of his life? I think they obviously want more production out of that. I'm curious just to see what James Cook is like on the field. I feel like we haven't really gotten a glimpse of what he can be. Obviously a pass catcher as well. That is someone though that I'm like, okay, I want to see what he looks like in terms of this Bills offense.
And to Dan's point about Aaron Kromer both impacts some of the decisions they make on the O-line, certainly, and how it impacts the backfield. Yeah. And we haven't seen a guy like Cook in this offense.
Correct.
We really haven't. I mean, they've attempted with other guys, but
this
is why they drafted him and spent a relatively high draft pick on him. And things could be different this year. I mean, we joke, you know, about Zach Moss had a down year. Well, he could come in and look great this year, and he'll get an opportunity, right? So there is a battle there. I think before, Dan, the way I looked at it was Moss and Singletary, and they share carries, and they're both there. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think one survives, and Singletary certainly has the leg up coming into camp. I mean, that's what you would think off of last year.
Yeah.
But again, this is what happens when you have a good team.
Yeah,
right?
I was gonna say.
The competition changes, but it's still real. It's real competition because at times, Jenna, you brought up the Isaiah McKenzie thing. He got benched during the year.
Yeah.
We thought maybe he was done for the year. Remember, he sent out that cryptic message or whatever. Then all of a sudden, Isaiah gets back. Beasley's out. He has a great game. Like, that was a massive game in the entire season for them, and it was Isaiah McKenzie. So these guys all play roles. It's just a matter of at camp, do we start to see more of what they want?
Yeah. No, I agree. Also, at corner, I know, obviously, Trey White coming off the ACL injury.
Yeah.
Micah Hyde with glowing remarks about nobody knows how much work Trey is doing in the dark. Firmly believe that, all that stuff. But in terms of the other side, Kair, obviously the first overall pick for the season for the Bills, and then Dane Jackson. And Dan, you were at the press conferences, Sean McDermott saying Dane Jackson is a winner. Like the glowing remarks he had, I was like, is that what? Like,
so, you're the worst.
You're the worst. That.
No, yeah, no. See, like that's it. Like Jenna's skeptical when Bean or McDermott gives a compliment to a player that I've been talking about.
No, but hold on.
When
it was Gabe Davis, everybody's like, yeah, obviously he's going to say glowing things because he's a really good player. But when it's Dane Jackson, all of a sudden it's like, is that cryptic? Is that skeptical?
Because Gabe Davis played and was impactful, and Dane Jackson had a couple of moments, but he couldn't beat out Levi Wallace. Stop. And they drafted a guy number one. Stop. He's talking about a guy who's going to fight to have a roster spot this year.
I think he doesn't have
a spot.
I think he's a depth piece. But in my head, I was like, I think Dane Jackson does work very hard. We've heard from other members of the media that he's one of the first people at practice, every practice. He's one of the last guys to leave. First of all, you know how well that does in Sean McDermott's mind. But I also think if I'm Kair Elam, I still struggle so hard saying his name. I always forget.
You got to do it. One, it's not a name that flows easily first
Kair
to last
Elam.
Name. Kair Elam.
Kair Elam. But if I'm Kair Elam, I'm like, okay. Duly noted. I'm just saying, Dan, you, let's not pretend that the coaches don't use us as a mouthpiece to get their messages across.
100%, I agree with that. I 100% couldn't agree with you more there. And I'm always the one that takes everything they say with a grain of salt, because that's why when it was Gabe Davis, oh, he's the guy you want in your foxhole. He's such an incredible guy. He's a winner. And everybody's like, look at how great that. See, Dan, you don't get it. Gabe Davis is a star, and they believe it. And then when they say nice things about Dane,
four touchdowns in a playoff game.
We're talking about a game. Like you're talking about, like,
it was a pretty big game.
I would agree. Dane Jackson also played more than a game. He played like 6-7 weeks, played in big playoff games too. And like,
and
when
they still drafted with their first pick in the draft.
Absolutely. Dane Jackson's a 7th round pick.
And with Gabe Davis, they showed by basically making him the number two receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So that's true. But by the way, you cannot always believe McDermott. I heard him talking the other day describing somebody's golf game. And he was like, lots of potential, hard worker, first one at the range, all those kind of things. Great wingspan. That's what he talked about. So
he didn't want to talk about that. He did not.
We can't trust that.
Oh my God. That man thinks I'm crazy.
Quickest to the second ball on the ground of any player he's ever seen.
Hey, I'm making up for some lost golf game. Might as well have three balls out there.
That's
know?
It. Just throw them out there.
I played really well this weekend. I did.
By the way, Dan, she's going out golfing without us.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I know. We've set wing. Her free.
You guys don't have to deal with me anymore.
Beautiful butterfly has now grown. I could leave the cocoon on its own.
Now it's somebody else's problem.
Small steps. I think it would, you're right, Dan. You have to analyze everything that's being said. Very highly complimentary words of Dane Jackson. But I guess I listened to it and I was like, wow, that's great. And then I thought, you know, if I'm Kyrie or Elam, I'm thinking, I want to get to the practice field before Dane.
Well, I better
stay later than Dane.
He better, because he hasn't done anything yet other than be drafted high. And look, he spoke glowingly about Levi. And, you know, I'm a Levi fan. I just liked what he did to get there. But then they let him walk for virtually nothing, a contract they easily could have done. And they did, because they think they can improve. Look, I like Dane Jackson. And I said, fighting for a roster spot, fighting for more playing time. Maybe he does push Elam. Maybe he does this year. That would be great. But if I hear about one more guy who's the first in, last out, I'm like, is there this huge line where everybody's there together walking in and walking out?
Yes, there is.
Because there is a guy who's last in, first out. I don't know who that is. We should find out. But there is one of those guys.
Yeah.
He that guy gets there early. He doesn't get there. He's not the first one in. That guy gets there early in public. That's what the coach says. All these guys get there early. Gets there first.
Yeah.
Yes. Somebody.
All right.
By the way, the other position thing was the defensive line and playing time to me is going to be great to watch. Now that when you keep that many guys active and it's rotational, it could be to Dan's point about week to week, who gets more snaps, but there's a real fight there for high draft picks to show something. And we know AJ Epenesa talked about three musketeers and he and Basham and Rousseau hanging out together and all that. That's great. And I like the Epenesa pick when they made it, but he's got to show something this year because there's only so many roster spots on this team.
Yeah.
And at some point they keep bringing in more talent. It's a very different room than it's been 2 years ago, certainly with all the new guys there. So let's see who emerges and who, I mean, my God, you brought in Von Miller, you know? So it's a very different room. I think there's a lot of competition there for playing time.
Yeah. I think there should be as well. Yeah. How much they've invested in that position and what Von Miller can do on the other side. It's like, okay, you need to see some production out of your guys.
Back when it was Bill Tierlink was their defensive line coach. He was the one that kind of pitched as a hockey shift. They would rotate all four guys on and off the field and keeping things fresh and all those things. But and people always assume that's what the Bills want to do. That like, that's their identity on the defensive line. I think if Sean McDermott had four guys that he know could consistently stop the run and rush the passer, he'd just play four guys. Yeah. So like this thought of like, oh, it's so great. They have all this depth. And we've talked about it before with the signing of Von Miller. It's like, it's not always a great thing. Depth's cool. Yeah. I would rather have four guys that
fresh
are, yeah, I'd rather have four guys that are Pro Bowlers and then four guys that are, okay.
The Rams running Von Miller and Aaron Donald out there every game. So
they don't care about depth.
Again, Von Miller has been an 80% snap guy and the Bills didn't have anybody even close to that on the D line. I think they also need to be smart with him. It's a long season. He's a year older. So I don't know how many snaps, but he's going to play more than Jerry Hughes played.
Yeah.
He better, right?
Yeah.
In that position. So it changes things. By the way, one last quick thing. There's no backup quarterback battle, is there? That's kind of assumed, is it?
Correct.
Keenum and Barkley, right? It's Keenum's
Keenum.
Two, Barkley's three.
Keenum and then Barkley.
Yeah.
I guess, right? They signed him for that purpose.
Barkley's vibes guy. Barkley is vibes, Josh Allen's
Steelers
Bitcoin,
game.
And NFT. Like that's Barkley's game.
Yeah.
Still won't understand NFTs.
Okay. Great. He's clubhouse guy. Clubhouse. Or, and specifically quarterback room guy.
Right. Yeah.
Quarterback room guy.
Right.
That's okay. Gotta be a fun room.
I would think so.
There's some characters. Yeah. Everyone knows their talk about roles. Everyone knows their roles.
Yes.
I just have no idea anything about Case Keenum.
No. I mean, he's been a decent player in the league.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, yeah. And he's the one that threw Diggs the ball in the Minnesota Miracle. Like we forget that. Right.
I forgot.
Yes.
So that he's played
in it. Lost to the Eagles in the NFC Championship game.
That's Keenum's legit backup quarterback. I just have no idea if he's big into The Office or old movie quotes.
Yeah.
Or D's nuts jokes. I'm not sure where he ranks, where he fits in with Josh there.
Well, we'll find out. Jenna, I want you to begin with the next topic.
With which veteran core player has the most pressure to perform this season? I'm going to be honest. I looked at this 6 seconds before we started our podcast.
Okay, Dan, you go ahead.
Some of us work hard. We just talked.
Last thing, first down.
Hold on. I'll be right back. Dan, go ahead.
You were just talking about the defensive line. I think AJ Epenesa isn't not only fighting for playing time this year, Mike. I think he's fighting for a roster spot. I think he's one of those guys. We have seen being trade fringe guys, roster guys that whether they just haven't panned out, and he's traded them for a 6th-7th round pick.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Sorry, Dan, I couldn't hear you over my media. Wow. This is also a weapon, too. This thing is
It is. By the way, Dan's next, because I have that same weapon on my desk. Mine's a little older. And I have one that's bigger and really old. But that thing is a weapon. The Gary Smith, great broadcaster in Rochester, and Jenna won the award. So
Sorry,
congratulations.
My award. That Jenna, doesn't even make sense, but we're going to roll with it.
Jenna Cottrell won it.
Oh, no one can say my last name. It's okay.
So, Dan, AJ, you got AJ as he is fighting, right?
Like, I think so many guys are talking, you know, we're grouping him in, it seems like by default,
100%.
As a guy that's, he's going to fight for playing time. And I see him as a guy fighting to make the roster. He's also a guy, and like, these guys are also like humans, and you have like, we can't always analyze them as football players. We try to, but like, he seems like he's been kind of lost with his weight, what kind of a pass rusher he's going to be. Yeah. He said at Iowa, he was bigger. He just like pushed people around. He lost too much weight. He didn't have his power then. And then when he got his power back, he wasn't as quick as he thought he was. Like, he seems like a guy that's kind of spinning his wheels. And this could be a time where the Bills, if they could get a 6th-7th round pick from another team that needs a backup D end and can say, hey, we'll take a chance on this guy. We loved him at Iowa. And if we get him in here, like, it just seems like to me, Epenesa is fighting for a roster spot more than he's fighting for playing time.
Yeah.
That's
by the way, they also dumped Wyatt Teller that way too.
They did.
That one didn't work out that
way. Okay. So you said veteran core player. I don't think
it can be anybody.
Okay, well, then in that case, I think a guy who has a lot of pressure on this season, I look at is Dawson Knox. I think he had a solid season, kind of a breakout season last year. Obviously, it's a contract year coming up for him. And he's been a guy that Allen likes to target. But we know he's had those moments where those easy passes sometimes just slip through his fingers. Can he be more consistent? And you see the standout teams and the play that they can get from their tight ends. And can Dawson Knox ascend to that level? I mean, there's obviously so much belief in him, his physical traits, all that stuff, and the money that comes along with it. So
this year,
this year is a big year for him. He's at tight end U actually right now. That's his second year going to that. It's run by George Kittle, Travis Kelce, Greg Olsen, to learn from some of the best guys in the league. And Dawson even talked about how it's still a huge learning experience for him. Like, he's not really there to impart wisdom yet. It's more so talking to the other players about breaking down film and all those other things and what you can do better. But just when you look at the season he had last year is a good one. A great one. consistency, but how can he take that next step to be that guy that the Bills, Josh Allen, everyone around him believes he can be?
Yeah, I agree with you. If he takes that step, a similar one from last year, he's a Pro Bowl player.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, he was good last year, much more productive, became more of a weapon in the offense. And he can become, I got to say, he could become a star in the league if he keeps doing it. Now, my guy is for a different reason, but the guy I think there's pressure on is Stephon Diggs.
Love it.
Interesting.
Love
he is
it.
A great player.
Yes.
He has proven it, and he's gotten paid.
Yep.
The reason I say there's pressure on him is because Josh Allen, there's pressure on Josh. There always is.
Yeah.
But Diggs has a similar type of pressure. It's expected that he's going to be really good. Now you're coming in with a change in coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
You lose Beasley. You lose the veteran. You lose those guys. And we're big Gabe Davis fans. Dan's coming around on him. But all of a sudden, he's the number two guy. So now if I'm defenses early in the year, now we don't know if Jalen Ramsey will be back from opening day or whatever. I am full on, you know, they always had coverage on Diggs, but I am full on saying we're taking Diggs out. These other guys got to prove something to me. And look, he's done everything the franchise could have wanted.
Yeah.
But it's changes. It's at that level with Josh. I think if you looked around the league, is he their second best player behind Josh?
Yeah.
You know, right? I mean,
absolutely.
You would say this. So he's already there. I don't mean he's proven he's a really good player. I mean, now it's really on him
to create
that for the rest of the offense. Yeah.
I couldn't agree more because, as I said, like I'm sitting here looking at who else can fill the shoes that Gabe Davis wore last year.
Right.
And so like that kind of trickles down.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just my opinion right away, like I don't think Jake Kumerow can do what Gabe Davis did. So like all of a sudden, I'm not so confident in the third, fourth, fifth wide receivers on this. And we know we assume that they're going to still air it out at the fashion that they are because they have Josh Allen. And I agree with you, Mike, because I think that there are going to be some times where it's throw me the ball and it's I'm in double coverage and you still got to force it to him. I think, and Josh has talked about that at times, wanting to force the ball to Diggs to get him into games early. He changes games. He can do all of those things. So I agree because if Gabe Davis doesn't meet the lofty expectations that some Bills fans and the Bills and the team have for him, it's going to fall on Diggs to help pick up that extra slack. And that's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, and he's done it already, Jenna. That's the thing. He's done it and he's gotten paid. That's what I'm saying is it's not like he hasn't already proven that he's an all-pro player, but they need it. They need more from him this year.
Yeah. I agree with you, Mike, more so than with Dan. Like, I feel like he has proven that role, but again, you're going to need even more from, sorry, Dan. I didn't even mean to like.
There was like, I'm sitting here being like, I agree with Mike. And Jenna's like, yeah, I agree with Mike. I don't agree with Dan. Like,
That I don't know. I just usually agree with Mike more anyway.
And just not well, just disagree with that.
It's the whole
it's a Freudian but, slip.
Hey Dan,
you're just like yeah, I disagree.
Dan, you're wrong, and Mike, you're right.
I gotta say this in the wide receiver room. I think Dan did frame it pretty well here. If Gabe Davis is a little better than last year, it's sort of like he's got one foot in each place, at least perceptions, where he's not quite the number two guy, but they don't quite have the number three guy. Then it's a different room. And that's why I go to Diggs. And again, he's been a phenomenal player for them. Mm-hmm. But boy, the pressure's on again this year. That's the way I look at it. And obviously, it starts with Josh. There's always pressure on him. He's the quarterback. I mean, we all know that.
Yeah.
But he's proven so much, but he's got to keep proving. He's got to prove more.
Do we bring up Tremaine Edmonds?
Sure.
Do we? Okay. All right. Because people are hateful in the comments.
Yeah. He doesn't reach the level that when we looked at him, Jenna, I've talked about this before, you and I in Dallas for the draft, and this giant of a guy walks in, stands next to Josh, and one guy has ascended to superstar, and one guy is a really good player. He's a good player. And we're now, we keep saying he's young, and that's the joke. And then he's got 2 years left, and then they pick up the fifth year option and all. So now we're running out of all that. Dan, it's do it or, you know, get off the pot, as they say, right? This is it, because he either does it and he gets a big deal, or they're looking to move on.
Yeah, Mike, I think you were in Ireland golfing at the number one golf course in the world.
In the world, yeah.
In the world, you know.
You brought us
Mike
back.
Mike Catalan is, golf guest of America, of the world now.
No, it's pay for these.
I think Jen and I did one of the blogs or podcasts, and we talked about, I said that I think whether Tremaine Edmonds has a great year or a bad year, I think his time in Buffalo is over after this year. I just think that if he plays at an all-pro level, he prices himself out of Buffalo, and Buffalo can say, the cap doesn't work, even though it's not real. It's just too much money to pay a guy. Or if he plays poorly, they say, we need to move on, we need to turn the page. I think that the pressure is on Tremaine Edmonds, for Tremaine Edmonds to make his next contract. Like I really think he's almost, this is going to come out wrong, I just don't know how else to frame it, but like, he's almost auditioning for his next team. Like this is the tape that the teams are going to see, where he can either say, hey, I proved my instincts. I had a couple of forced fumbles. I recovered two fumbles this year. I had an interception finally, like all these things. I think that is where the pressure's on for him to perform for his next team and what his contract will be this upcoming offseason. I just don't think it's going to be with the Bills.
Jenna, you think there's any chance we see that out of him this year? Big plays? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, we just,
like, I think you said it right. I think he's a really nice player. But see, I get what Dan's saying. Wow. I really wasn't trying to be a complete opposition to you, Dan, all day. But I feel like he is a big piece of this defense. And if he continues to be that same guy, the level that you've seen, kind of the consistency that we've seen it at, if the money is right, do you walk away from him? Because he's... You know, he works hard. You know, he's a good guy in the locker
room.
First
one in, last one out.
Like,
no,
I'm look, saying, like, you know, that's...
You make a good point, Jenna, because Brandon Bean drafted him, moved up, and they don't like giving up on those players. And it depends on what they see. But, Dan, to your point about pricing their way out, sometimes I do wonder about, you know, in that linebacker position... This is where his age would become a real asset to him. And not to make the joke we always make, but he would be a guy with 5 years in the league who's still really young. So a team may be much more willing to pony up more money, because he's not 28. He'd only be, 24?
Six.
Five? 25.
He's 25 right now.
24.
Going to be 20. Yeah. So that's why I'm saying is it might be different. But, there's pressure. But I see Dan's differentiation here. I'm talking about Diggs. He's already proven it and gotten paid, what he's doing for the team. Certainly whatever Edmonds does for the team impacts the team. But I do think he's one of those guys that if he doesn't have at least some thought of what his future is, because they could have signed him at any point. It wasn't like we were hearing he turned down long-term deals. We didn't hear any of that.
He will be 24 this upcoming season.
Okay, so my thing, and I don't mean to be combative with Jenna, this isn't like, this is now we're just going to headbutt in the top of this podcast box the entire time. When you said that you're like, he's a big part of this defense, I tend to disagree. When I think about impactful players, don't get me wrong, apparently he gets them in and out of the huddle phenomenally, which is, to me, the biggest backhanded compliment that a coach can give anybody. Like, Mike, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't this where people are like, like, we're getting in and out of the huddle great? It's like, well, I would hope so.
Okay, so let me go.
I see what you're saying.
No, let me finish. Hang on. Let me finish. Because I go, we're talking about impactful players. I just wrote down quickly six guys that I think have a bigger impact on this defense than Tremaine Edmonds. Make more impact plays than Tremaine Edmonds. I'm talking about, like, when they're not on the field, I get worried. Compared to if Tremaine was off the field, I'd be like, all right, we'll roll with.
So I'm going to count the six. I'm going to say, you're going to say Von Miller. You're going to say.
I didn't even have Von, because I went with last year's team. I went off last year's team.
Ed Oliver, Matt Milano, both safeties, Trey White.
Taron?
Oh, good. Taron Johnson.
I think those guys have big.
let me give him this. Now you, Ed Oliver now has, if Rousseau moves up and you got Von Miller, does that create more opportunities for Tremaine to make plays? Are these guys impactful that we haven't seen as much on the D line? And maybe this is the breakthrough for him.
And that's been my big fear and concern is that there are players that need all stars around them for them to rise their level. And then there are players who make other people all stars. Tremaine, and we keep sitting here saying, well, if Tremaine gets this, and if Tremaine gets that, and if he gets instincts and turns interceptions, then he does. It's like, yeah, he'd be Luke Kuechly, and he'd be all pro, like, but he's not. And so, like, to sit here, it's like when the, you know, a hockey team, and you have like you're on the line with Wayne Gretzky. It's like, oh, that guy was great when he was next to Wayne Gretzky. It's like, yeah, but what did that guy do when Gretzky left? Was he any good?
I see what you're saying. Yeah, some guys do that, but the position itself, let's be honest, is one that, you know, if that player's taking on a ton of blocks all the time, it's a little harder to make plays, and maybe they free him up. Hey, look, we're waiting to see it. And to Dan's point, if the Bills' biggest issue is Tremaine Edmonds plays great, and then they have a question of
perfect,
do they pay him or not? Okay, then let's see what ends up happening. But I think we'll wait and see. But yeah, certainly there's pressure on him. But they didn't draft a guy high either. So, you know, for that linebacker.
That's
position.
A good point.
Yeah.
That is, but they did pay Milano a couple years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll see. Yep. All right, Dan. What are the bets or the bet you're so excited to make on the Bills this season?
Wow, way to really tee that one up. You were just so excited for that.
No,
one.
I don't.
We're just Mike had talked
apparently
about
I'm good enough at my job. No.
Wow.
Dan, what is the bet that you are I can't even it's so yuck.
Mike in our group text would say like a bet that you're excited to make. And obviously there are only a few out right now that you can place a wager on at a sports book. Obviously the Bills to win the Super Bowl. The Bills over under win total is 11.5. That's -130. The Bills to win the AFC East at -180 and Josh Allen to win MVP. So you get better odds of Josh Allen winning MVP than you do of the Bills winning the Super Bowl. And I think that's the one that like I liked more, just because so much of MVP, guys, isn't it also the story? Like you have to have a story to go along with it. Like that's kind of what the media likes and to go along with the play. And like, we've talked about all this offseason, how Josh has risen to superstar status coming off that game. It would just be kind of that like fitting toast of Josh Allen goes on, you know, loses the best playoff game of all time in the shootout and then comes back and plays well and wins the MVP. So I think that's one I like. It's +700. That's one. And Mike, I know you're talking about like, what would you be interested in? Whatever Dawson Knox touchdowns is, I think I would take the over. That was one of the ones I was just thinking of because I don't think Cole Beasley, you know, without Cole Beasley there, like some red zone stuff that I think Dawson Knox will fill in as he's gotten better and better. And I think that they're with there, as we've talked about in this pod, now it seems like ad nauseum, the lack of other top end options on the offense. I think Knox has risen with Allen's comfort level. It's pretty high.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that about Josh. I guess there is a narrative. It's not quite like the NBA, but even we say that in the NBA and the narrative vote, and we had repeat winners. And I didn't find Aaron Rodgers' season or Nikola Jokic's season to be any different than when they won it the year before. It was kind of odd because it could have voted more for the narrative. But in football, we know it is. You got to win. You got to be a high seed. Like, this is where if Josh goes out, plays like Josh, and they win 13 games and they're the number one seed, he's got a great chance to win it because you know he's gonna put up the numbers. 11.5 win total, 17 games during the season. I like the over a lot this year for them. And I think at that number, when they go and knock off the Rams, the opening game, that number is gonna the odds then are gonna be worse because they're gonna get a win when some people might think it's a loss. I think this team's not on some revenge tour this year. But, man, is he going to be talking to them about Jacksonville at certain weeks when you go in there like that and lose a game. They haven't done that a lot. That has not been their MO to lose to bad teams. They might have played poorly, but they found a way to win. I think he's on them about that. I think they play like that. And I love the over 11.5. And look, I'd take a flyer on them. I thought they were going to get there and win it last year. Mm-hmm. But I would, you know, it's not great odds. Like, what are the odds, Dan, for them to win the Super Bowl?
Plus 650.
Like, yeah. I mean, it's still winning the Super Bowl, but, you know, I like their chances as much as anybody of the top teams.
Yeah, and I like, obviously, I like them to win the division, too. I mean, it's minus 180, so you're not getting the best odds. Everybody else is a long shot. But I think when some people will say, like, oh, the division got better, as we've said before, I think that makes the Bills more likely to win it because you're hoping that the Dolphins this year or the Jets can pick off the Patriots once and kind of help you out on a week where you're not even playing a division opponent. So,
yeah,
I like them, obviously.
Who has the second odds? It must be the Patriots, right? Still ahead of the Dolphins? I would think I would honestly, if I had to take a flyer on somebody else in the division, I might take the Dolphins ahead of the Patriots. I don't know.
Sorry, Dolphins second, then Patriots, then Jets. Yep.
Okay. Whoever's third, I would take. So I would probably, but it's the Bills division to win. And individually, it's going to be, obviously, I'm going to take Gabe Davis over in touchdowns.
I was going to say that. You stole mine. I also would do a futures on the Bills.
Yeah.
I've said it before. I think that Kansas City loss is the start of the DVD. Mm-hmm. I really do. And I think you're right, Mike, again. But no, I think the Jacksonville game can definitely send a message of this is the NFL.
That was so bad.
And think of how many guys are still on the team on that game. You know what I mean?
And the thing about that game
resonates.
I'm sorry, Jenna. The thing about that game was Jacksonville was lousy too. I mean,
Sean McDermott lost to Urban Meyer.
Yeah. Josh Allen of Jacksonville was great in that game. But they weren't good. Offensively, they were terrible in that game.
The Jags kicker missed three straight field goals, and they still lost.
They still lost to them.
Sickening.
That was pitiful. And that's what I say is when you give up those kind
of
games.
Beautiful Jacksonville.
Sure, they lost to the Patriots, and that one game was bad. They ended up beating them twice. But, I mean, it's a division game. You lose. I mean, that's
– Yeah.
I mean, New England was a playoff team. So we're not saying that, you know, those were bad, but because they really don't do that. And when you look at their schedule, like there's some tough ones, but, oh, and by the way, I'm taking them. Are they favored or underdogs with, they got to be underdogs with the Rams, right?
They're a 1-point underdog, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, I like them in the opener.
Same.
I do too.
Yeah.
Can you guys share what the best part of Jacksonville was for our loyal listeners?
Chili's.
Oh, Chili's when they brought us Chili's.
Extra chips.
Yes, is my favorite restaurant in Jacksonville. And they brought us chips. And it got, without even asking, Dan, the guy just brought them back.
Like, you need these.
Yeah.
Not the saddest Chili's ever. It was such a sad Chili's.
Yeah. But, you know,
Chili's kind of slaps, not going to lie.
It's funny that at certain times, it looks like an oasis in the desert. Because a lot of times we're working late, and then you're like, well, Chili's is open. Let's go. There we are.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Can people send restaurants for LA? I just want to know all the spots.
Yeah.
All of the spots. I want to map out everything. Obviously, it's going to be a great game, but, you know, the food.
Well, considering, you know, since you get that West Coast broadcasting back to the East. So yeah,
we can have dinners.
It's like Vegas, Dan, when you got a few hours there. So your night is over.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That'll be fun. Okay. Yep. Anything else, gentlemen?
Nope. Getting ready for fish. By the way, just so the fans know, when they show up in July, it will be to St. John Fisher University. Yes. July 1st, they get university status. They needed that to allow Josh Allen, you know, for Josh to come back. He said, I want to come to a university. So they got it changed for him.
Oh, man. They were talking about just sleeping in the dorms is kind of comical. I mean, look, I think it's great for the team aspect, all of that. They pimp out their rooms. They have really nice stuff, but it is kind of funny. But yeah, we're excited to have Camp and Fisher as well. It's going to be a lot of fun. The 4-minute drive is always mint for us. All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Buffalo Plus podcast. Please be sure to like, comment, most importantly, subscribe. And if you enjoy our stuff, if you want to share it with your other Bills friends, we always appreciate that. For Mike and Dan, I am Jenna. We'll catch you next time on the Buffalo Plus podcast.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.